Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming from our studio in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, we're going to do a different type of program, a special addition to our normal broadcasting. We're going to talk about what to do when disaster strikes. We're going to offer you today a step-by-step guide of all the problems that many people have faced, will face, or are facing as we speak. I live on a farm. I've lived either on a farm or a ranch my entire adult life. I also live in the city. In the city, I live on the Upper West Side. That means from 57th Street to 115th Street, from Central Park to the Hudson River, is the largest concentration of successful people, wealthy people, professors, artists, heads of business in the entire world. It's a wonderful place. I've lived here my entire adult life, and I've seen it grow and change, gentrify. And so walking down the street last night to Lincoln Center to see a movie, an art movie, I'm always amazed that all the restaurants are full, that all the shops are packed, that people are seem content and happy. And then I think, I wonder if any of these people have had the time or made the effort to look around the rest of the country, to other places in New York State, other communities in the United States. Have they ever ventured down into, let's say, Camden, New Jersey, the most poverty-ridden, crime-ridden city in America for its size, even worse than Detroit or Chicago? I did. I did a special that was premiered earlier this year called Poverty Inc. It took 7 years to write and produce and film it, edit it. Thus far, it's the most winning documentary I'm aware of in the United States, almost 50 awards this year, including a lot of very prestigious ones. Now, what's important about this documentary is it takes you around America and the world, filmed in India and all across, showing you the reality of the average person versus these super elites that will never worry about food, will always be able to evacuate in case of an emergency. They always have a plan B and a plan C. But I showed you what it's like to live day to day as just a normal American, the stresses they have, the challenges they never thought they would meet. I remember speaking with a woman, a very soft-spoken woman. She was 67. She had worked her entire adult life for one company. That company had been purchased, downsized. She lost her pension, and she was terminated. She went into the marketplace thinking that maybe she could find work since she had a lot of experience, was very able at what she did, but she found that there were no jobs for her. No one wanted her. And she had not had a lot of savings, but she was burning through her savings. Until today, with only menial jobs, packing bags at a food store with a lot of other senior citizens, or she was even too old to work in fast food places or box stores. So outside of a Social Security, which was not a lot, she could not pay for her life, and she had to make sacrifices. And the telling moment in our conversation was, I said, growing up as a baby boomer, because I'm also a baby boomer, how do you look at life today? And she said, if only I would have known that these disasters would occur in my life. Now, she was not referring to a tornado or hurricane or solar storm or an earthquake or wildfires or drought, toxic water coming out of the tap or no water coming out of the tap. Instead, she was referring to a society that considered her disposable, that could hire cheap labor from India and South Korea, quality labor, nothing against them, people with PhDs willing to come and work for 30 and 40,000 a year and take the place of an American who had developed some seniority and worked there let's say for 20 to 30 years, was making 150 or 200,000. 8 million of these special visa workers are now in the United States, taking the place of people who were upper middle class, professional class, and now they're the underclass. Talking about opening a cabinet and seeing 30 cans of cat food because she could not afford regular human food. Having one room in her house heated and lit because she couldn't afford heat and utilities for the rest of the house. No longer having subscription to DirecTV or mobile phone because she couldn't afford those. And also, the phone doesn't ring. She said, once you are no longer an active part of society, your phone stops ringing, unless it's a family member saying how you are. And she said, it's a lonely place to be, and there are about 12 million of us. That was her concern. I also met people who were getting street drugs. I actually filmed a man walking down the street. I saw him. He was all beaten up, and I'm guessing he was in his 50s. And I said, you don't have a door on your home? He said, no, they kick it in. So I just stopped repairing it. I said, you're right across the river from Philadelphia. Why don't you live there? He said, I did my entire life. Then I got injured and I was on pain meds and then couldn't afford the copays. So I came here because I could afford heroin, which killed my pain. He said, I don't like being a drug addict. It's demeaning. But that's what's happened. So I get a cheap street drug in a terrible neighborhood, and I'm reduced to living like an animal that's been abandoned. He said, I never thought this would happen. I wasn't prepared for this disaster. And I filmed him, and I felt such empathy for him. But then everywhere I went in America, to my home state, West Virginia, down in Louisiana, and to Mississippi, and Alabama, and Arkansas, and Texas, and Florida, everywhere I go, I see the faces of the invisible 250 million Americans who are challenged. And that's why I did the film Poverty, Inc. But I was thinking, are we able at this time to be honest about what challenges we're facing? And the answer is no. Because if I stop people on the Upper West Side, which I have done and filmed, what's going on the rest of Americans? Everyone thinks that we are prosperous. Everyone thinks we are safe, that we have no drought, that we have no problem with water, that we're not going to have an earthquake and we're not going to have a tidal wave. They don't think there's anything wrong, so therefore it's not a part of their equation of what to do. And yet, it was just a couple of years ago that we had Hurricane Sandy. I informed my radio audience a week before the storm hit that it wouldn't be a powerful one as far as Category 3, 4, or 5, but we weren't prepared for it because Lower Manhattan, Wall Street, and the very exclusive areas where apartments can go start at $2 million, rent can start at $7,000 for a small two-bedroom and go up, that they were unprepared. So what I did was I ordered in a tractor trailer of food, organic food and water, and I told our sister station, WBAI, come over, I've got studios you can use, I've got cots set up, I've got food, and so you can continue broadcasting. Everyone thought I was nuts. In fact, not only did they not do it, but when the news showed people down by the water, you know, and over at Jones Beach, you know, the people think, oh, great time to surf. Just 2 hours before Sandy hit, I called the program director at WBAI. I said, please consider coming up here. No, they wouldn't. Okay. 2 hours later, they were off the air. They were off the air live because the water had risen so high on Wall Street, it was above the traffic light. The traffic light above it, which meant everyone who was trapped in the building couldn't get out of the building. because the bottom two floors of their building at 110 Wall Street was covered in water. Computers all gone because the servers were down there. We had backups. As a result, the next day, being off the air and many trapped in the building, the entire bottom of Manhattan was blacked out. The subway, as I predicted, was filled with water. The trains weren't running. Power was out because a lot of the utilities are down that end of town and underground. Now, mind you, this was not a strong storm, yet it killed a lot of people, made homeless tens of thousands of people, and cost over $80 billion. That was a Category 1. We have still not recovered. There are still homes that have not been rebuilt. And so I ask a question, would we learn anything from it? Then people said after the storm, they would rebuild in the same place. I said, not a good idea, because a lot's happening to our environment that will impact you. And it has. So I was able to take every day loads of food and water to the people who had none downtown. These were strangers. I just gave it to them as a gift. And I asked the question, will you move? Will you do anything? And the idea was, well, this was a freak one-off. Wrong. Let me share some insights with you now. And this is the latest as of this morning. Here's what's going on that you may or may not be aware of. And mind you, we have a worldwide audience. Right now, we have people listening in over 170 countries. Global warming caused by CO2 emissions from fossil fuel is substantial. The United States uses 40% of all the electricity from fossil fuel burning plants, yet we're only 4% of the population. We have not learned. Global warming from gasoline burning is up. Global warming from methane from animals. We raise 12 billion animals, sentient beings, for slaughter because we think we need their meat for protein. We do not. I can show you the longest-lived creatures on Earth, like the Galapagos turtle. One's over 160 years old. They're vegan. Elephants, vegan. Giraffes, vegan. Long lives. Shortest lives, cats, lions, tigers, cheetahs, panthers, bobcats, mountain lions. Short lives. I can show you that we don't need to be planting the soybeans to raise to feed livestock. That's causing deforestation of the great rainforests, which hold carbon. And without those trees, you can't hold the carbon, so it creates global warming. And then global warming is causing massive deforestation for wood, because people want wood, and pulp products. Global warming from chemical fertilizers and runoffs, creating dead zones. And here are the effects. Our sea levels are rising worldwide. The poles are melting. Arctic is melting. Antarctica is melting. The Himalayas is melting. Greenland is melting. The water at the ocean is coming in further and further every day. This is not a theory, it is scientific fact, backed by thousands of observations and studies. We are seeing now an increase in powerful severe storms. The most powerful hurricane in the history of recorded science occurred just 2 months ago off the coast of Mexico. Category 5 plus. So we have widespread extinction of species. We've lost biodiversity. We're entering the sixth mass extinction. We have the disappearance of coral reefs, the ocean acidification. 250 million people on the planet have been impacted by natural disasters in the last 6 months. Global temperatures are rising. 2013 and 14 were an epic years for natural disasters. You had the Australian unprecedented wildfires. They're happening again. The Russian drought, the worst drought in Russian history, where they had declared states of emergency. Central America, coffee plantations lost 70% of their crop because of a blight. It was called the coffee rust. Pakistan floods impacted 20 million people. The Philippine typhoon Haiyan affected 11 million people, displaced 700,000. tropical cyclones with more intense rainfalls that will increase sea levels by 1 meter now, increased droughts in some regions and increased flooding in others. Oxford University: melting ice due to climate change will trigger natural disasters, including earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, floods in the Alps, torrential rainfall in the United Kingdom, and sinking of land. It's happening now. Melting of the northern tundra and permafrost will release methane gas, 25% more powerful than CO2. In turn, increases the heat, increases ocean temperatures, increases the melt rate, and you're in a bad loop. We're in it now. It will not be reversed. It cannot be. Of the 34 major problems with our environment, 7 cannot be reversed. So we're going to get impacted hard now. NASA says that tsunamis and hurricanes off Newfoundland, New Zealand, and Chile due to disintegrating glaciers. All of this will affect the quality of health, from heart conditions, heat, stress, diarrheal diseases, malnutrition, rise in insect, mostly mosquito-borne diseases like malaria, Chagas, cholera, and dengue. All of these conditions are gradually rising in parallel to increased natural disasters. We have severe conditions. We've already witnessed a rise in illnesses due to climate change-related storms in India, Indonesia, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, and Thailand. Heat waves are increasing as a leading cause of death in some regions. 55,000 people died in Russia from just the latest heat wave. Malnutrition is increasing due to stress of agricultural lands and capitalism's emphasis upon chemical-based industrial agriculture monocrops. Massive crop failures have caused hundreds of millions of deaths in recent years. And we're seeing the end of all life in the oceans. It is happening. Economic losses increased from $308 billion between 1981, 1990 to $860 billion from 2001 to 2004. Floods and storms are the major economic cost. Katrina cost $146 billion. And we're seeing droughts increase, floods increase, storms increase, and each major storm or natural disaster event puts stress on cities and town infrastructures. So, this is just to let you know that if you have not had the unfortunate circumstance of being hit or affected, impacted in some way by a natural disaster, you will be. Today, one of our listeners sent me a photograph. Elaine Ryan, an artist, sent a photograph with a caption, this is from your demonstration from the governor's office, which, by the way, was the largest demonstration ever in front of Governor Cuomo's office in Manhattan. 2,200 listeners demonstrated with me to protest Indian Point nuclear facility. We wanted it closed down. I'll post a photograph of that later today. Now, why is that of concern? Because we, meaning Harvey Wasserman and others who have spent their life fighting nuclear power, know that Indian Point is within 20 miles of the largest concentration of people in the United States, over 20 million people within 50 miles, should say. And it is breaking down. It should not be relicensed. In fact, right now there's an effort to relicense it, and we, the people and scientists and engineers, are saying do not relicense it. We've managed to close 4 nuclear plants in the last 5 years. We need to close it, decommission it, and get rid of all the contaminated spent fuel rods. Why? This is a real scenario. Just imagine that there is an accident from a storm, from an earthquake. It's not an earthquake fault. From a terrorist attack. From any reason. But most importantly, what if there was a solar storm, which we have constantly, and a large bolt of plasma came to Earth, hit the ground, and fried the electric grids, which they would, because we have old, ancient grids, because utilities don't want to spend the money to get better grids that would protect us. Indian Point would be knocked out of service. They only have between 4 weeks to a little as 1 week worth of backup fuel. When the generators stop because they have no fuel, then the big quick meltdown occurs because 2 billion gallons of water are taken out of the Hudson River each day to cool the core nuclear reactor rods and the spent fuel rods outside. If you cannot put water on those rods 24/7, the massive heat will cause vapor, and that causes the explosion, the hydrogen explosion. We would have multiple Fukushimas right here. The problem is you would never know it. You can't see radiation, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, but you would be impacted, and there's no place to go, there's no place to hide. Radiation will go into any building, home. You have to get out of harm's way. Now, we're unprepared for this. I believe it is inevitable, absolutely inevitable, that a solar storm is going to hit and impact one of these reactors. So knowing how severe it is, and you can't repair them, because nuclear, the stations that provide the electricity are made in China, and they have a three-year wait list, and they only make about 120 to 200 a year. So we'd be out of luck. You would have the biggest kill-off of human beings in world history in a relatively short period of time. So that's the bad news. Now, what's the good news? I don't ever give anything that informs people of a problem unless I also give them empowerment by telling what they can do in a positive way. The remainder of our program is going to be spent showing you what you can do when disaster strikes, step by step. Earthquakes, solar storms, floods, nuclear meltdowns, and other emergencies. That is inevitable. These are happening. They're happening now. And being in a city does not protect you. Sandy showed us that. New Orleans with Katrina showed us that. And the entire Pacific West from Oregon, it's not the San Andreas fault you have to be concerned about. It is the far more deadly fault that is north of you from Alaska down through Canada and through Oregon, and you would be about 6 million people, they estimate, would be hit and by that storm, by that earthquake, and probably die with the tsunamis coming. The last tsunami that hit, based upon that, was 600 feet high. That's 600 feet high, according to Dr. Michio Kaku. So, what to do? With that, I introduce my co-host right now, from California, Christine Blasdell. Hi, Christine.
Thanks, Gary. Hi. We're offering something very special this hour. I think it's really important that you updated the audience as to where we're at, but also to sort of gave them a little bit of an idea of what we could expect, especially with the solar storms. It's something that we do not even put into our mind. We never think about, but it's something that is a very much a possibility right now with all of the solar flares that have been happening, the activity of the sun coming towards this planet. We're offering today something very, very special. It's Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack. And in this mega pack, not only are you going to get the step-by-step information that you need to keep you and your family safe and from harm if in case of a disaster or an emergency, but you're also going to get something very, very special that is going to not only give you peace of mind, but also keep you in a very fit and healthy manner if something was to happen. We're offering a 3-CD set called What to Do When Disaster Strikes, and this is Gary going through meticulously with disaster preparedness expert Matt Stein in over 3 hours of content, telling you exactly what to do, what to have prepared, tips and tricks for you to put into your survival kit, and plans of action as well. Also in Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack is a one-month supply of survival stuff. And survival stuff, Gary has talked about it, hopefully, on other programs. I'm sure he has. This contains 17 grams of protein per serving, 19 fruits and vegetables, sprouted grains, and probiotics. It's all raw, all natural, and a must-have in your disaster emergency kit. This entire pack is $229.95, a huge savings because the value of this pack is $440. You're saving over $210 And we're going to be playing a clip in just a moment from this CD set that's part of the pack. But I want to give out that number because that phone line is going to get quite busy. The number to call to save $210 and get Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack. It's very simple. It's 888-874-4888.
No, that's not the right number.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. That's our call-in number. It's 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And let me just explain why this is important. Because had the people in Lower Manhattan, had the people when there's an earthquake, had the people when there's a tsunami, when there's a flooding, the first thing that goes is water. The second thing that goes is food. It's all gone. And then where are you going to get it? You can't. So you have to plan. I believe people should plan for ideally 90 days. That's the ideal. Because in here I show you where to go, how to get there. Not, you know, how to get a group of like-minded people together, two people, three people, one car, two cars, everything, single thing you need to do to go from a place of crisis to a place of safety. I show you how to do it, what to do, how to plan in advance. I have two places I can go. I have nine people who are going to be, if they choose to, if there's a disaster, they would be called. And they know the meeting place, they know the time, and we have one that goes 2 hours after disaster, another goes 4 hours, another goes six. That allows people who are out of the area to get to a place. And I have a pack, always packed. I just put it away in my closet. If I don't need it, great, I don't need it. It's like health insurance. I never want to use my health insurance. I never want to use my car insurance. I never want to use my fire extinguisher. But if I have to, then damn it, I want to know I've got it. I don't want to be that person that stands up and says, why in the hell didn't I do something in advance? And then you look at someone else and say, why didn't you? I thought you did. I thought you did. And then, you know, then you just smack each other like the Three Stooges. And so in my pack, I have bags. Now, this, by the way, survival stuff is like a gallon size. It's huge. It's almost 4 pounds.
4 pounds, yeah.
But I want to make sure that I'm not going to end up with malnutrition. I'm not going to end up starving because I don't have food. And this lasts a long time. So I've got that. I've got the other things that I describe in detail in there. I tell you what to take with you, what not to take with you, and why you shouldn't. Like some people be taking cans of stuff. You don't want to do that.
Mm-mm.
And then I have a route. I have a map with three different exit routes to get to where I need to go in case one is blocked or one is damaged. So everything you need to know, even the kind of bicycle, the fold-up bicycle that you need to get, because you're not going to be able, if there's a nuclear disaster, you ain't going to get anywhere in a car. Nowhere. And if you do have a car, someone's going to take it from you and rip you out. You need to know when to leave, what time of day to leave. There's a reason why.
And what to have in your survival kit, which you go through in great detail.
Everything is in there because I brought in Max Stein. And Max Stein's the best-selling author of the most important book ever written on this subject. He is an MIT engineer with a background in mechanical engineering from MIT and the National Merit Scholar. And we go into this in great depth. So ask yourself this. How lucky do you think you are if you've never had a disaster? Think of the people who never thought it would happen in California. They lived in beautiful gated communities, 13,000 people in one gated community, houses ranging from the high 100,000s up until I think it was 32 million. Now, no water at all. Houses plummeted. No one wants to buy a place with no water. They never thought it would come. It's happened. Think of all the farms that had to tear down their fruit trees because they have no water. It's happened. Think of the loss of water out of Lake Mead. Think of the loss of water out of the Little Colorado feeding Los Angeles. It's happening. No snow, hence you don't have water coming down that canal the way it used to and should have and to all the major communities. Now, it doesn't mean that an entire state is without water. It means that only the people can afford it will get it and only small allotments. So the entire quality of life changes. But most importantly, once people realize they can't live in a state because it's not supportable in the future, because the property taxes are not going to be there, then watch them vacate as quickly as possible. And who gets left? The people who didn't realize how precarious the situation was, who didn't think it could happen, that the government would find a way. Well, the government was aware of all this and chose not to do anything about it. The government is the least capable of understanding what to do. and hence they have not rebuilt our infrastructure. They have encouraged people to go to places that are not sustainable, like Arizona, not sustainable, New Mexico, Idaho, Colorado, not sustainable, California, most of Texas, not sustainable. Nevada is dead in the future. Las Vegas, I predict, won't exist as a city. It'll be completely gone in 10 years because they have no natural water there. They have to get it, and they're going to be very little of that coming. So when you realize 19 states in America aren't where people should be, and yet they're afraid to leave. They don't want to change. They want change. They just don't want to be the change. And therefore, any disaster that hits, they're not going to be able to handle it. So I'm saying be prepared for disaster. If it doesn't happen, good. Continue with your quality of life. If it does happen, you're the smart one that isn't going to be crippled, killed, starved, or run amok, because you get a society that runs out of water and food. Watch absolute anarchy. Watch gangs when there's no police to go after them. Watch what happens. So when my friends thought that this was all extreme, and we had four of us for dinner a year ago, and I said, do you think it's extreme to be interested in your health? You see all the vitamins I take. Do you think that's, yeah, Gary, that's extreme. You think all these juices I drink every day is extreme? Well, that's really extreme. You know, I mean, you're drinking, what are you drinking? Three of those 32-ounce glass? I mean, it's just insane. All right? You think because I go out and jog each morning and lift weights, you think that's extreme? Well, yeah, I mean, the body wasn't meant to it. Okay. You're probably right. I said, would any of you like to change your life? Come down with me. You're my friends for decades. Let me help you. No, no, no. They're all dead. All of them died in the last 7 months. All of them. Not one of the people was at that dinner. Now, death, in my opinion, is extreme. Preventing it should not be considered extreme. It should be normal. Now, I get angry sometime at my friends who died. I love them. I cared for them. They were wonderful human beings. But stubborn, inflexible, unwilling to change? Absolutely. My own family, unwilling to change? Absolutely. And in fact, the only person in my family who ever was looking forward and doing the right thing was a vegan, and she was the oldest live in the whole family, and none of them liked her. They didn't want to be around her because she was too much of a disciplinarian. Everyone else smoked and drank, and they died. My mother died at 58. My father died at 58. My older brother died at 60. All because they killed themselves. Not because they wanted to. They didn't commit suicide. But they allowed the belief systems that, well, don't worry. Smoke your cigarettes. There's no proof it causes cancer. Eat your beef. Don't have to exercise. And they didn't do anything that was not expected of the good citizens. So we have a nation of good citizens. But it really bothers me that I just past that anniversary of that 1 year when I was talking about this, and we actually had a whole 3-hour discussion over dinner about extremes. And I said, I'd rather prevent something than pay for what happens to me physically, emotionally, when I didn't do what I should have, could have done it, was smart enough to do it, and my decision showed that I chose not to and ended up with the negative results. So I think as a nation, we're not stupid at all. We have a lot of wonderful, brilliant people. But do we make the decisions we should make that are reasonable and responsible, or do we say, not today? Well, think of the people who we saw on their roofs with signs saying, help us in Katrina. They had 5 days to get out of harm's way because they believed the Corps of Engineers that the levees wouldn't be breached. They believed that it wouldn't be that bad. They could have gotten out, most. And those who couldn't move in the nursing homes, they drowned. So I'm looking at a society with possibly eyes that are not willing to see anything but the truth of what happens within action. If you choose not to do anything, you better be really lucky. Because when I look around the world that I'm filming, and right now I'm doing 3 separate major documentaries. I haven't even released my latest two yet, but I'm already doing the next ones, and I'm seeing a different world. When you get out of the protective confines of a utopian vision of the world, living in little gated communities where you don't have to worry about crime or anything else, everything's there, you're not looking at the world as I see it. I'm looking not just at the oasis, but the desert that abates it. So I'm hopeful that people will wise up and realize that disasters are striking every single day somewhere in the world, and it's inevitable. They're going to increase because global warming's increasing. In fact, at the Global Warming Conference coming up, the main sponsors of the conference are corporations that are the major polluters in the world. And yet, I'm going to talk about this on tomorrow's show. Did anyone pay attention to who's sponsoring this? It's sponsored by the world's biggest polluters. And so nothing, zero, is going to get done that's going to stop pollution or render the public safer in the future. So I don't buy into propaganda. I don't watch the major media except to see how much they can lie and distort and cover and obfuscate the truth. And we present the truth. That's why we've had hundreds of millions of visits just in the last year to Facebook, reading our articles, watching our films, and getting advice that can empower them. So, Christine, if people want to be protected, if they want to have a plan B and A when disaster strikes, now they have their opportunity. So yes, they can get their survival stuff. Now, what are you going to get in survival stuff? Christine mentioned you're going to get your protein, yes, but you're also getting it from the best sources, from split pea and brown rice. You're getting alfalfa and pumpkin seed, flax seed, barley, grass, carrots, kale, cauliflower, cabbage, parsley, ginger, spinach, celery, broccoli, asparagus, collard greens, apples, bananas, cranberries, strawberries, chlorella, spirulina, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, kamut juice, oats, sprouted quinoa, sprouted kamut, sprouted spelt, sprouted amaranth, oat, beta-glucan, chia seeds, alaria, a seaweed, dulse, a seaweed, laminaria, a seaweed, ascophyllum, a seaweed, probiotics, 8 billion of them for your good intestine, and digestive enzymes, and stevia, and natural pineapple and cherry flavor, and that's it. You're getting good fiber, 15 grams of fiber. Could you imagine what would happen if you didn't have food and you didn't have fiber? Could you imagine what would happen if you didn't have bowel movements for a week? Well, let me tell you, I had a friend who died this year because of acute toxemia from being constipated for 2 weeks. Went into the hospital, get a medical colonic, and died of a heart attack during the procedure. Yeah, that is what can happen. And that person knew better. So the idea that what we know we're going to apply doesn't apply to everyone. So I'm trying to give you everything you would need to survive for a period of time. I want to see you survive for at least 3 months. So this is a 30-day survival kit, and then you get the tapes, and the tapes are extremely detailed of what you need to do. So here's the number you call to get this, and you're saving $210 savings off its price. So it's a small investment that could lead to enormous returns in protecting you. Here's the number to call, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Let's play some of the tape.
All right, let's go to a clip now. This is Gary and Matt Stein, expert on survival and disaster preparedness, talking about some tips on what to have prepared.
What we're talking about is a worst-case scenario, so we're simply suggesting what people should have to survive that worst-case scenario.
Okay, that's right.
Now, let's back up. So we have our kit, and we have our transportation with a portable fold-up bike. Now, what happens if we're single or we don't have a car? Here's what I'm suggesting, and we've actually implemented this in New York, and I have friends who've implemented it in Los Angeles. You get together a buddy system, someone who has a car. And in this case, we ended up with two recently retired New York City police officers. Mm-hmm. And so they're also licensed carry guns. They're armed. And then I suggest you get a trailer. Why? Because you're not going to find gasoline anywhere once a disaster happens, if it's sustained.
And, yeah, that's
and,
correct.
And even 2 years ago when there was a hurricane down in the Gulf, you couldn't get gas for a week on the West Coast because none of the gas rigs had made it in yet. So I'm always tapped to the top plus backing up. So what I suggested this, I suggested that they get cars that have the maximum mileage. For example, I have a Nissan that gets me, when I put it on 45 miles an hour, I can get over 40 miles to a gallon. But then it's lightweight. Then when I'm suggesting people get a little trailer, and in their garage at home to have a trailer with backup gasoline that they can put on the trailer, and also backup food, and there they can have more than powders. They can have canned food and beans. 25 to 50 pounds of brown rice, get bulk items. You can buy bulk items for wholesale in a lot of places, and you get your organic beans and grains. As long as you have a combination of beans and grains, you're getting very high-quality protein. And you can also get dried fruit that way. So anyhow, you have your backup emergency trailer all set. All it takes is driving in, hooking up, and getting out. I then suggested that you get maps so you have a destination and you go to your destination in advance. For example, in New York City, I suggest they go two areas. One is to Texas and the certain areas of Texas where there is water, quality water, where there's a more progressive community, where many of the people are off the grid, and where they would understand and welcome people who are interested in surviving in any kind of catastrophe, and then see how long it takes you to get there. Now, by having different people who will show up at certain times, and what I'm suggesting is, if the power goes out, give it 3 hours. If there's no communication as what caused it, if it's just a normal power outage, fine, no problem. But let's say this is the bad one, this is the big one. Then I plan for the worst and hope for the best. So
right.
Then you have people who already know once the power goes out for 3 hours, there's still some power left on their phones, contact and have their meetup place so they know where they're going to meet. This gives people a chance to get from work or home or commute someplace to a given destination. And you might have two or three destinations, like we have a destination in Connecticut, we have a destination in Westchester County, one on Long Island, one in Manhattan. So different groups of people, anywhere from 5 to 10, will be joining one or two people with cars and trailers at 3 hours with all their supplies and then going on their route with their map. And the idea is the further you get away from a metropolitan area, and the better it is for you to be able to use your car. And then let's say if you have a car that has a full tank, you can get about 400 miles on a tank. But now in your trailer, you have a backup 55-gallon drum. Well, 55 miles, let's just say it's 50 gallons, and if you got 40 miles to a gallon, you got 2,000 miles you can travel with it before you would need a filling station, assuming the filling stations are out. And this way, you're to your destination within generally 26 hours to 30 hours because you have other people doing the driving. And even telling them, hide your valuables, have already a place in the vehicle where you can hide things. So if you should be stopped or there should be someone trying to take what you got, they're not going to find anything. And so this way, and you have your covered little trailer. So you got a little caravan going, one car, two car, three cars. You already know where you're going to go.
Yes.
And that was Gary Knoll talking with Matt Stein, a disaster and survival preparedness expert. And that is just a small portion of what you're going to get in What to Do When Disaster Strikes. This is a 3 CD set, part of Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack. Not only will you get the 3-CD set where Gary and Matt go into great detail about exactly what to have in your survival kit. I did not know the importance of charcoal capsules. I did not know the importance of colloidal silver or concentrated nutritional powders or radiation suit or any of these things until I listened to this 3-CD set, What to Do When Disaster Strikes. You're going to get that plus you're going to get the 1 month supply of survival stuff, this nutritional powder that you can survive on for at least 1 month. And again, the value for this disaster survival mega pack, it's a $440 value, a must have for every household. You're going to get it saving you $210. You're going to get it for $229.95, but you've got to call right now. The number to call is 877-627-5065. The number again is 877-627-5065. Ask for Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack. Again, it's $229.95, a savings of $210, but you got to call this number. 877-627-5065. Five. Gary?
Just a few additional pieces of information. For example, when people want to take your car, if you have someone who's armed in the car, that's a good thing because then you start to realize how important it is to be able to be a peaceful citizen who has the right to protect themselves when speaking in any way you can to someone may not be going to do the task. I don't want someone taking what I had that I need to survive on. In this case, we had two New York City police officers, a husband and wife, very kind, gentle. They never have drawn their guns on anyone, yet they just retired after 25 years of service. But they want to make sure that if they are ever attacked, ever robbed, ever anyone wants to hurt them, they can protect themselves, and I support that. At the same time, where do you put your goods in a car? Under a seat? Someone could look there. But there's a place in your car that nobody would ever look. Nobody would ever look. And that's where you put your valuables. That's where you put anything you want to make sure gets to where you're going. Same way in a knapsack. How you take out the bottom of the knapsack and you put your valuables that you want in the bottom of the knapsack, then you put a liner on top of that, and nobody would ever know that they're in there. Someone grabs your knapsack and turns it upside down. But I want people to know what happens if you scratch yourself.
Yeah.
What happens if you need water? I have it so people can get drink out of a lake, drink out of a river, drink out of a pond, and will not be sick. All right? How do you do that? And I show them in detail, step by step, what you have to do, what you have to make that happen. And it's all lightweight and portable. But anyone else is not going to have water. People are going to start drinking the back water first out of the back of their toilet, the storage water bowl, that goes. All the other liquids are gone. And the body has to have water. You're 72% water. Where are you going to get it? Where are you going to get clean water? And they're not going to have clean water. That's the one thing that's always missing, clean water. So I have a way of getting people in their preparedness kit that. What kind of clothes should you wear? You shouldn't wear normal clothes. Depends upon where you're at in the weather. But Gore-Tex is important to protect you. It's lightweight. Even things you'd never think of, like having, and they're not expensive either now. The prices come down. Night vision, where you just have a hat, and you put the hat on, and you put the goggles down in front of your eyes. Now, why is that important? Because if I'm out riding down a highway, and I'm doing it at night, and that's when I tell people to make your move at night, I can see anyone who may be setting up to take what I have before they see me. I can work around them. They don't see me, I see them. I want to be able to see a problem. I want to be able to see at night if there's no light out there, if it's dark night. I want to be able to see that. So it doesn't hurt to have that, and it's not expensive. So everything that I'm taking or is in my pack, including a radiation suit, it weighs under a half a pound, and yet it folds up neatly. If there's radiation I got to go through, I put that suit on, I put my filter in, and I can go through it without being harmed. Well, how would anyone know? You know, I was that this is happening up at Woodstock. I was giving a lecture recently. And I told people, are you aware you have a nuclear facility near you? Well, no, didn't know that. And if that exploded because the power went out and they didn't have any backup fuel, all that radiation is going to be coming at you. And how would you know? When your eyes start to bleed, your mouth starts to bleed, your nose starts to bleed, blood's coming everywhere, you're internally hemorrhaging. At that point, you're dead. There's no cure for that. You know, but wouldn't you want to know that? Yeah, first, so you can close down the plant and get it decommissioned. And secondly, so that if it does happen, you have an opportunity to get out of harm's way. So again, we're only talking about where you're preparing yourself and friends or family of where to go. Now, I also have a whole lot of time, about an hour I spend about the best places to go to, whether you're likely to meet other progressive-minded people, and how you go there in advance to set up a place where you can have quality of life. And I did this in front of a live group, a large live group, and people were amazed that if they had to go to a place, they go to a place where they have even a better life than where they came from. And it's all about where you go, who runs it when you're not there, what is being done that can actually produce an income at that location, self-supportive home-based businesses, and you know, in hydroponics and crafts, etc. And so when you go there, you're not roughing it. You're going to a place in an emergency that's a really good quality of life, place you'd want to go to and pay to be on a vacation. So all these considerations I've tried to put into this. So I ended it 3 hours because everything we had to say, Matt Stein and myself, we were able to say in 3 hours. Christina, let's give them one more clip.
All right. We're going to be playing a clip now. Again, this is from What to Do When Disaster Strikes, the 3-CD set. It's part of Gary's Disaster Survival Mega Pack, a $440 value. Yours right now for $229.95. Again, don't forget you're going to get a one-month supply of survival stuff. The number to call before we get to that clip, though, is 877-627-5065. That's 877-627-5065. And remember, this will be shipped out immediately. So you don't have to worry about getting this, you know, in months from now. You're going to get this out. I'm going to get this out immediately as soon as you do make that phone call. Let's go now to hear more from Gary and Matt Stein.
Yeah, there's lots of different options. There's lots of different options.
I want to go beyond that. Also, then, you can get 25 to 50-pound bags of your favorite grains and legumes. Then get your sprouting seeds so you can grow sprouts. And you can have a recycling of water so that as these sprouts are watered twice a day to rinse them so they grow.
Right.
And you collect that gray water, and you filter it, and you can reuse that on the sprouts again.
Or you drink it.
Then all the other things we've mentioned earlier about what you should have in a pack, you actually have at home. You have your charcoal capsules, colloidal silver. You have your wild oregano oil. Olive leaf extract's also good. Vitamin C. And then
right. You
have concentrated powders. Now, a concentrated powder will last about 5 years. Unopened at 100% potency. So I would get, let's say, maybe 2 or 3 cases of each one. That would give me 12 months worth of all the food and nutrition I needed if I had to stay in my house or apartment. I couldn't go out. I would also make sure that I put a different type of door on. I would have a metal-based door so nobody could kick
right.
it in. I would also have the police locks. I would have 3 police locks, one at the top, one in the middle, one at the bottom. This way, nobody could pry it open. I would also have a shade that you pull down that is a thermal shade. This means that it's holding in whatever heat you're generating and not allowing to go out in the wintertime. And because you don't want everyone to know, if everyone else in the same position, what you have. I would have a portable radio, and that's important. Batteries. I would have flashlights. So the things that you could then survive with quality of life, and I would have disposable bags, lots of them, probably lots get like 1,000 freezer bags, a gallon, because you're going to have to go to the bathroom and your toilet's not going to flush. So if you go there and you can ziplock them, at least you are not contaminating your situation. And then at the appropriate time...
Keep in mind, that was just for people who could not go someplace but had to stay in their own home or apartment. We're coming up to the end of this program. Again, let us all hope that we are not the ones who are going to experience these disasters. But every single day of the year, somewhere in the world, people are experiencing disasters. As we speak, it's happening in Australia. It just happened in the Philippines. It also just happened in India and Pakistan, and is happening also, it happened on the French Riviera, all recently, and it's only going to get worse. So I'm suggesting at least be prepared. That's all. Just be prepared. It's a small investment to be prepared. And I'd rather have a map that gives me three locations and three ways of getting there. And then if there is a problem and I got to go someplace, I know where I'm going, how I'm getting there. And if there's a problem with one way of getting there, I've got two other ways to get there. I show you all this, Matt Stein and myself, what to do when disaster strikes, step by step, everything that could happen. And then if you find out, well, gee whiz, the disaster was solved and you can go back home, great. But at least you aren't going to be caught up and victimized by your own inertia and hubris. So give a call, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, and you'll get your survival stuff, and you'll get your what to do when disaster strikes, and then you can listen to it and start preparing and find the friends or family members that want to be prepared with you. And you just do it quietly. You do it in your own time. But at least then you're ready. Christine, thank you for joining us, sharing your input.
Thank you so very much. I do want to encourage people to give a call right now, because they do get to have a great savings of $210 if they call 877-627-5065. Have peace of mind, not only with what to do with when disaster strikes, the 3CD set, but have peace of mind that you're going to have a 1 month supply of survival stuff as well. So please give us a call, 877-627-5065. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, or you can get more if you want it. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day.